Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
I'm joined by another guest, Soha Haraf, writer and director of Villa Tuma, that's in the Critics International Week. Welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'd just like to say congratulations on the film. I really loved Villa Tuma. I really do hope that it gets a release in London, where I'm from. And, you know, it's really amazing to see Arabic films still being made in Palestine as well. So congratulations. Tell us a little bit about your Venice experience. Is this your first time here?
Yeah, it's no. As in the film festival, yes. But as a tourist, no, I was here before. I just arrived yesterday, and it was very tough to come here because to finish everything, I'm working alone. I'm also the producer of Villa Tuma, and I did it in a low budget.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was tough.
This lady, you're a genius then. I'm going to take my hat. If I did have a hat on, I would take it off.
Thank
to you.
No. I did it alone, not because I want to produce, because no producer wants to do a film in a low budget.
Yeah, of course. I understand. But, you know, sometimes films, actually, I think some of the really good films are low budget. You know, they're indie. That's the beauty of it. You know, these really glossy films, just it takes the shine off filmmaking. It's hard for you, obviously, because you see all the nitty-gritty side of it. Of course, we should talk about the film. Villa Tuma, tell us a little bit about the film.
The idea of the film, I was a journalist, by the way, before I became a filmmaker. And I did an article about Ramallah with the Oslo Agreement. Okay. Ramallah became so huge. Nightclubs, a lot of restaurants open. And Ramallah became something because everybody then would also have a lot of hopes that the peace is coming. And I got to do an article about Ramallah, and I met somebody who told me about a hotel called Hotel Ramallah. Ramallah Hotel.
Really?
Yeah. And this hotel is closed since 67. It's
wow.
A very boutique, small hotel that was exist in Ramallah and still exists, but it closed. And it used to host Omar al-Sharif when he had premieres and Fatin Hamama to his
wow.
movies before the war, before the occupation. And the King Hussein used to come to Ramallah for a weekend. Ramallah, they used to call her before 67, Small Paris or Little Paris, okay? And it was a huge, big, beautiful life with flamenco, dancing, with a lot of groups around, and everything looked unreal, like a movie, and black and white movie. And I go to this hotel. The hotel is closed, but there is a beautiful old lady, Madame Audi, called her name. She died a few months ago, and she lives there with the memories. She everything, all the memories in bubbles.
Wow.
She's living in this hotel, everything is covered. The sheet, in sheet, white sheets, all the old furniture with the old photos, black and white, of this flamingo and the life in Ramallah before 67. And this lady, she didn't get out. Like the characters.
She just stayed inside.
Inside. She stuck herself inside with the memories, and she have a guardian who bring her the food. This is
how you came up with the idea.
Yeah.
So all of this is kind of inspired by your real personal experience.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we should say that this is about three sisters, a niece who's orphaned,
yeah.
comes into the mix, into the household. And these three sisters are really spinsters, aren't they? They don't really go out. They're kind of almost feel they're above society as it is. And what I found really interesting and curious about really was when they do leave the house, there's these beautiful scenes where they're walking through the streets of Ramallah, I think, right?
Yes.
And they're so elegant and so colourful, where everything else around them is not. I found that amazing. What was it like to film logistically?
Listen, it was also very funny for us to go there and to film my ladies in the streets. All the idea was to build all the inside so strict and clean. All the interior, the house, everything is totally fixed, 100%.
Yeah.
But the outside is messy. Okay, and real. Okay,
yeah.
All the inside is unreal in somehow because
absolutely.
They're living in a movie.
Absolutely.
Okay, and somehow. And then we need to close the streets. I want to film in the main street of Ramallah on Friday, the very busy day with the prayers and all this. So I get a lot of help from the police in Ramallah, the Palestinian
fantastic.
Police. And they close the main road for us to film. And all the people, we don't need to bring extras because all the people come to see who's the, this four bizarre ladies, and they call them a queen, Spain queens. The people, they're from Spain. They look like queens and all the queens. Yeah,
they did look like royalty actually in the film. And that's why it's a standout scene in my mind, yeah. I think, as
and
well.
And I want to build in this image the conflict between the old life, the bourgeois aristocratic life, and the real life in Ramallah, to build a clash between this and this. Yeah, everything outside is messy with the posters of martyrs, unclean, a lot of noise. Also, I build it in the sound track itself,
yes, yeah.
Not just in the image.
Yeah.
All the inside, you hear just the clock, and it's so quiet, and the outside, very noisy.
Absolutely. I mean, it was really beautifully done. I thought the sisters worked really well together. It's a very, I mean, for me, it was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, because you feel like when the young girl, Badia, comes into the house, obviously they're very strict with her. You can't do this, you don't do that, you must come and eat at this time. And then slowly, her kind of, when she falls in love and her mood improves, I thought, they're finally going to let her just be herself. And then we're not going to reveal any more than that. But there's just this constant sadness running throughout the film with just a splash, right. Moments of happiness. And right. I guess the memories of what used to be that flashes into the film. But it's so beautifully done. And I just want to finally ask you, what was the biggest challenge for you as a director? Because this is your first directorial movie. However, you have written screenplays like The Lemon Tree and The Syrian Bride. So let's talk about just the biggest challenge that you had.
The challenge that I have as a Palestinian, how to convince Europe to finance my film.
Right.
I thought, because at least the films that I wrote before became very successful, my name is good in Europe, and I did several documentaries with a lot of awards, blah, blah, blah. It will be easy for me. Was my name a little bit known, at least in the fans. And then I bring this script about Christian and bourgeois and aristocratic without any frame of soldiers and occupation and wall and suicide members and Hamas and Fatah. Okay? So to broke this stereotype for Europe, it was so hard because I get a lot. Everybody said no.
Yeah.
All the fans, producer, it's not the Lemon Tree. People were so disappointed from my script. They don't know what I'm going to do there.
Yeah.
It's where we are not interested in Christian. I get something like this. We don't know that there is Palestinian Christian, at least. Or we are not interested in this case. So the main challenge was to finance this. And it was very hard, without any success in Europe or the Arab world, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, how to do period film. Period, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Because we build everything there. We build the garden outside. Wow. We just take the house and we work in the house. Okay, we broke walls and we bring everything with this small, teeny budget. How to make... And I have four actors, one Palestinian-American, one Palestinian-French, also to bring actors from outside. How to bring all this stuff in low budget when I have just 22 shooting days, and then I get another day, and my crew give me another day for free. Yeah,
right.
This is how we did it, because everybody believed in the story. The atmosphere was so great in the set. So it was challenging how I can finish all my shooting in this limit time, and how, because the, for me, the villa is character.
Yes.
It's the fifth character in this movie.
Yeah.
So how... I couldn't bring a trash furniture and said it's a bourgeois family.
No, of course.
Okay?
Of course.
So I need something to believe the story. I need really a dressing of this house, a very expensive dressing for this house. So how to bring all this in low budget?
But you did it.
Yeah.
You absolutely nailed it.
With a lot of help.
But, you know, that's what it's all about. And, I mean, credit to you, because, like you say, you've worked hard in this industry, and finally you've made your own film with your blood, sweat and tears. So I'd just like to wish you the very, very best of luck in the Critics Week selection, because fingers crossed you're going to win something. That's what I'm hoping. It was a really, really good movie. I'd like to thank you, Soha Araf, the writer-director of Vilo Tuma, for joining us here on Fred Film Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.